I want you to think back last time you were amazed at something. Last time you saw something that took your breath away. I guess it doesn't have to be the last time, just any time in your life, really, when you saw something that left you speechless and you stood there in awe of it. Game 6 of the World Series. October 27th, 2011. Sorry, I've got to do this. Cardinals down, 2 runs, 2 on, 2 out, down to their final strike, and David Freese rips a triple off the right field wall in the crowd. Alyssa and I were there at that game. And I remember being amazed. And then the next inning, Josh Hamilton, 2-run home run, and we were back down by 2. And then we tied it up again. And then in the bottom of the 11th, David Freese leading off with a full count. Game-winning home run. And the crowd went wild and everyone, we were amazed. I didn't go to bed till about 4 a.m. the next morning. I had a Hebrew test the next day in class. I was at seminary. I just wrote on top of the test, I was at the game last night. I think I got a C on it. We were amazed. Amazed that I could even be there. We couldn't afford tickets. Our father bought us tickets for an early birthday present. What a game it was. Amazed. I get amazed at athletes like that who do wonderful accomplishments. I'm a big fan of sports, as you know. When's the last time you've been amazed at something that you saw? Well, maybe tomorrow you'll be amazed. I hear there's an eclipse happening. Can't see anything in these eclipse glasses. You can't even see the lights. This might be the biggest fraud ever. If everyone puts these glasses on the same time tomorrow, it really is an eclipse. But tomorrow, August 21st, the big eclipse. And we'll stand amazed at God's creation and its beauty. We're told that there won't be another eclipse for quite some time. I was told this is the only time in your whole life that you may see something like this. But the next one's actually April 8th, 2024. So 7 years or so. But that one will go from Texas to Maine. So you'd have to commute to see it. But these are the sorts of things that amaze us, right? The grand scenes of life, whatever you thought of. The bigger, the better, the greatest. We're so easily amazed by the great things. And we're so easily bored and even bothered by the small. Jesus with his disciples, they just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just a few loaves of bread and some fish. This mountaintop experience, this grand scene in Jesus' ministry. And they're coming down the mountain and they're walking along to this village. And behold, a small little Canaanite woman comes out. Don't bother him. You have any idea what this man does? He walks on water. He feeds crowds of 5,000 people. He doesn't have time for someone like you. Jesus, send her away, please. The disciples are so easily bored and bothered by such small things. Lord, she says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Oh, come on. He doesn't have time for someone like you. Leave already. Do you have any idea his schedule and the things he's up to? He's about to feed another crowd of 4,000 in the next chapter. He's got big plans, grand schemes. Come on, Jesus. Get her away, Lord, she says. Lord, help me. Disciples have enough. They've reached a boiling point. So Jesus finally steps in. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. difficult words from Jesus. For those listening to the story, what do you say when Jesus says this to this woman? Implies that she's a dog. What do you say to that? When we studied this in college at Southwest Baptist University, the professor just skipped over the text. He said, none of you will ever preach on this story because no Baptist pastor would ever preach on the story where Jesus calls a woman a dog. So we're just not going to cover it. I thought, well, great. For this stick-in-the-mud Lutheran, this story will come up for me. What do I say? What can you say? Is Jesus being cruel? Is he being mean here? Is he testing her faith? She says, Lord. The only people who call Jesus Lord in Matthew's gospel are his apostles. She calls him the Son of David 3 times. Lord, Lord, Lord. Is Jesus trying to figure out here if she's parroting what she heard the apostles, or does she truly have faith? Is he testing her faith? I don't know. It does sound a little cruel. It's probably not best to psychoanalyze Jesus, though. But what do you say? Lord, she says, yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She knew that Jesus was the bread of life and that all she needed were crumbs from him and him alone, and that she would be satisfied. It's an amazing story here because Jesus, he just had a squabble with the Pharisees over what makes one clean. The Pharisees are all about the external, the washing of your hands, what you put in your mouth, what you look like, what you're doing. And Jesus says, it's the inner beauty. It's what comes from the heart. That's what makes one clean. And now this Canaanite woman, who would be regarded by the whole society as unclean, comes as evidence of this true inner beauty. And her inner beauty isn't one of mountaintop experiences or world-changing abilities. It's of a different kind, a kind that the world so easily doesn't look for, but the only kind the Lord of heaven and earth sees. Faith. The Lord is amazed with such humble faith. Faith that begs for the crumbs of his mercy. He looks at her and he says, oh woman, great is your faith. And her daughter healed instantly. So in light of the story, my question for you this morning is, what have you been basing your life with Christ on lately? Your ability to do great things? The types of things that would amaze others around you? You know, the grand scenes of life, the bigger, the better, the greatest. I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and if I can do this, then I'll show him how much I love him. I'll show others how great my faith is. But when you don't do it, or you can't quite do it enough, or it fails short of your expectations, then what are you left with when it's all about the grand scenes of your own life? The Lord's amazed by small faith, not by the amazing things that you do or fail to do. It's faith alone in him that moves him. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, pretty small, you could say to this mountain, be picked up and move to the sea. If you had faith that small, you could do great things. Well, there's been Christians for 2,000 years now, and I haven't heard of anyone that's been able to pick up a mountain and throw it into the sea. So the faith that you and I have is even smaller than the size of a mustard seed. But even that small faith that begs for his crumbs amaze him. The faith of a Canaanite woman who humbly trusts in him amazes him. The faith of a daughter who serves him with an obedient heart amazes him. The faith of a widow who cries out to him in the midst of her anguish amazes him. For the Lord sees great faith, not in the greatest, but in the least, in the lowly, in the lonely, who simply confess every day, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, help me. Lord, Son of David, only your crumbs are enough. And he does, instantly. Amen.